All right. Hi, everybody. Everybody good? Welcome to our Empowered Self-Care Lab. It looks like not a lot of people here yet. So I'm excited to have you guys here. And I know that we just started Sweet Spot and a lot of you are doing Sweet Spot with us. And you'll be getting weekly calls with Annette and me and alternating it. Well, mostly Annette will be on all of them and I'm going to pop in here and there when I have specific stuff I want to share. But I'm excited for you guys. Oh, you know what? We have to take off the waiting room. There we go. Do you know how to take off the waiting room?
Yeah. Oh, how cool.
If you have all the people on the right side and you go down to the bottom, there's a thing and you just click the three dots and disabled waiting room. Yeah. That way you don't have to keep letting people in. I mean, we could keep the waiting room on. I know a lot of people do that on their calls and just, but you have to be aware and have somebody's got to be watching to let people in as they come in. I always find it just easier to just disable because I'm paying attention to you. I'm not paying attention to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, we are here to support you however you need support, which is if you're doing Sweet Spot and you need support, if you have anything else you're doing that you need support on, and if you have questions. I always like when you raise your hand to get support is to do what first? Anybody want to shout it out? Before you tell us what your problems
Bonnie's
are?
Bonnie's trying, but she's muted.
Run.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to unmute before you talk.
You unmute before you talk. That's absolutely right. There you go. What are you supposed to do before you share your complaints?
Oh, share a praise, a good thing.
But yeah, something good, a celebration, something that you're grateful for, whatever. Yeah, because it always helps us to frame ourselves in that position. And it helps your subconscious to start looking for solutions instead of looking for problems, right? So even if you have some issues and you need a solution, if you start by being grateful for something, your subconscious says, let's try to figure how we can make us grateful for this. So raise your hands and I'm going to kind of, you know, I'm going to let Annette and Lisa do as much as they can. I know it's hard for me. I only have to not show up in order to not open my big mouth because I'm always wanting to stick stuff in, but I'm going to give them an opportunity to
support you. We like it when you talk. So
you like it when I talk? Okay.
We like too. So,
you know, it's funny. My mother would used to say when I was a kid, she goes, I think they vaccinated you with a phonograph needle. And I didn't quite get that for a while when I was real little. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I know what she's saying now.
That's so funny.
Wow. Anyway, but then I was shy for a while and now I'm getting over the shyness. Well, I was shy because they kept telling me that I talked too much. So I stopped talking so much. Anyway, sorry. I don't mean to get into that. So who has stuff they want to share? And even if you don't have any questions or concerns, but you want to share something, a celebration, we love to hear those first. So who's up? Put your hands up. You can wave like this, but it's better if you use the reactions button at the bottom and you can do a raise hand or you can do it however you want to do it. And thank you all for, now a lot of people are coming in. Cool.
Yeah, we've got, it's quiet today.
Yeah, quiet.
No chat, no hands.
Well, we could just go and enjoy the rainy day.
I think, is it Marcy? Does she have her hand up?
Oh, it just went. No, that was a clap.
Okay. Oh, that was a clap. Well,
but go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to say that after many, many years, I get to go on vacation. Ozarks, and we're going to do some skiing, water skiing, and I have my families out, and so it's going to be wonderful.
Awesome. Congratulations. Those are good things, right? If we look at our pillars, what's the first pillar? The F, right? That F word that nobody wants to do, fun, right? It's not that we don't want to do it, but we've learned over the years that that's like, you know, that's not what's most important in life. And in fact, it is most important in life. And I'm looking at you, Catherine, because you said singing, right? And I bet when you're singing, even if you get you know, a sharp pain, you kind of, it kind of lightens the load of that. If you, I'm guessing it may be not, you know, not in your body and I can't say for sure, but I know that distracting yourself from pain and from unpleasantness and, you know, family strifes or whatever else might be going on, when you can distract yourself with a hobby or a fun activity or, you know, going swimming, which is what I love to do, I haven't been able to do because it's raining and gross out every day. But, you know, when I can distract myself that way, when I can go, oh yeah, all that stress is manageable because you have something fun to look forward to. And for a while, and I'm tempted to do that again, is to just make, you know, a fun month or something. Because we did that for a while in ERC a few years back. And everybody was posting, and we post in the Facebook group and take pictures. And we had people knitting scarves and building Legos and just things that were fun and, you know, weren't productive. Well, knitting scarves can be pretty productive, right? It makes Christmas gifts and whatever else, birthday gifts. But it's really, I think we should do that. I think we'll decide what month is going to be fun month. And then it's going to be the fun challenge, right? Post something fun every day that you're doing. Anybody who wants to participate in a fun challenge? Yes?
Lisa. I do.
Because it reminds you, you know, like it's the easy thing. And you've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. When we did a Spring into Vitality conference a few years back, I think it was our last one that we did. And we were going through pillars and we had people do these assessments, which you have access to. And we asked them at the end, you know, okay, tally up your scores. And I was putting little tick marks on the calendar, which ones had the most problems. And I thought, you know, for sure people were going to be most challenged with exercise, right? Or diet, or no, it was fun. And it just like blew my mind that that was where people were most challenged because, you know, when you're changing your diet, you know, and you're trying to figure out how to make your favorite foods in a different way, you know, it's work. But having fun, it's not work. It shouldn't be work, right? So I want us to focus on that. So we'll make a note of that and we'll talk about that and figure out what's a good time to do fun month. So
probably in winter or when it's really gray November.
Oh, no, we're not waiting till that.
Okay, well, we can do it again.
We're not waiting till that. We'll do it again then, but we'll, I'm thinking soon. I'm thinking like we'll finish Sweet Spot, you know, and even while during Sweet Spot might even be a helpful thing to do because that could help to bring your sugars into the right balance. Yeah, I think it might
absolutely be.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, it can definitely be more than once.
Oh, we should be more than once.
Okay, maybe not quarterly.
But. And if it's, it could be, or maybe we'll do a month and then we'll do like a quarterly, weekly fun challenge. Right?
All right. Kim Coleman.
Where's Kim? Hey, Kim.
Hi. I didn't think I would be up right away. Hi.
There you go. You? Well, you put your hand up right away.
I can move me back if you want to come.
Oh, it's fine. No, it's okay. I might have another question later, but the question that came to my mind right now is I'm going through the GRAHM program and I did the zinc test, the challenge, and I got my first question is, I know it sounds silly, but what is the metallic taste I'm actually looking for?
You'll know. It's going to be one of the nastiest things you've ever had in your mouth.
Okay, so then I never got to that. So I went to
six. Do you remember the commercials for a beer and they did bitter beer face?
No.
Oh, because that's the look. No. That's the face.
You go like okay. This.
It's bad.
No, it gave me like a little bit of an aftertaste after the six. The six tablespoons, but I never got that metallic taste.
Wait, six tablespoons?
Oh, teaspoons. Teaspoons.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of zinc.
What
were you following? What instructions were you following?
The ones that say zinc taste test and zinc challenge. These ones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it should
they're
be.
In. It says the first.
Okay, I'm gonna see who's loud. Okay, here we go. Okay. There we go. Okay.
So it said the first thing was to do the initial test for the 30 seconds, see what happens, and then if you didn't have any metallic taste, then do this page was like do five more challenge tests.
Yeah, that's an old one. We don't do that one much anymore. But what that's what that's saying is you're really low. You know, the likelihood of you having a zinc deficiency is high because it took six teaspoons to get that.
Dr. Emery, I wanted to say that even though I didn't get the metallic taste, it made my stomach really upset. I threw up and then I was nauseous for like 24 hours.
Okay, so would you, one of you guys, write the note down that we're going to take that part out? That was an older test. And the more I started to see how people, when you got that concentration of zinc, and some people get it on like Trace Minerals has a very concentrated form and they get nauseous from that to begin with, that I think we should take that out. We'll just give the normal zinc test, which is put it under your tongue, do it for 30 seconds. If you have no taste or mild or anything up to 30 seconds, likelihood you have a deficiency. If you taste it right away, blank, you know, you probably don't. And then if it's in between, it's in between. And you can always start with one teaspoon as your dose. And then you redo the test a couple of weeks later, 3 weeks later. And if you still don't, if it's still the same, then you up your dose. I think it's a gentler approach to.
I see. Rid. And so what should the dose be now?
Well, how long before you tasted anything? Was it after the 30 seconds or after the six teaspoons?
I mean, I had a faint taste around the 30 seconds, like the fifth or the sixth time.
Again, because it was never a reaction. I would go, and Lisa might have other ideas, and Annette might have other ideas, but I would probably start with a teaspoon, like the single dose. Do it for 2 or 3 weeks, then redo the taste test.
Okay.
If you're not seeing any change, then up your dose.
And that's a teaspoon one time a day?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you do it a second time, if you could do a second one after, you know, a few weeks, I would do a second dose, but not the together.
Yeah. Okay.
And Kimberly, the thing about zinc is it's one of those minerals, if you have on your empty stomach, it can induce nausea and even vomiting. So you've got to, you know, and not in all people, but in some people. Unfortunately I found that out with my darling daughter. That was not a good way to learn that, especially when she's throwing up on the way to school. So anyway,
it was a bad day.
Yeah. And it put her off supplements for a long time, and it took her a long time to trust taking zinc again, which she absolutely needs. But anyway, so just be careful about taking zinc on an empty stomach. A lot of things you can take on an empty stomach, but zinc is one of those that I would.
It can go either way. And the sad part is it gets better absorbed, the liquid zinc, if it is on an empty stomach or 5 minutes before you eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that it there's more food coming in to buffer it, but most of it can get absorbed because those ionic minerals, because they're in that ionic form, they can actually get absorbed really well and really quickly, even through the stomach lining and the intestinal lining, without having to go through the full, you know, secrete digestive enzymes and all that. And it will slow it down. But it also, you have to do what you have to do.
Right. And I wasn't on an empty stomach that day, but since then, I mean, I was only doing a half a teaspoon because I was like Lisa's daughter. I was scared of it. So, but I had been doing it with my bitters because I thought it said do it when you.
Yeah, you right could do it with eat. Bitters. You put a pinch of vitamin C powder in there and that can be helpful too.
Hmm. Okay. And what kind of zinc are you recommending? Because if these instructions are old, I bought the kind that was talked about in that zinc.
Oh yeah, that kind, that's fine. Those the instruction to figure out your amount.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get rid of that. We'll just do you the regular zinc taste test.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kim, right. You won't have to ask. You won't have to ask about the taste. You'll know when you get there.
Okay. Yeah, no. Okay, cool. Okay. Thank you so much.
No, all right. Thank you. Okay. Christine was next. And I had muted you, Christine.
And Mary should be after Christine.
I saw.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I just have like celebrations. I'm just feeling good and adding more foods to my diet. So And really, I have limited questions. I'm trying to work through the thyroid module now, and really have it. It's pretty straightforward on that one. So I'm still working on chewing. I know you. You resonated. It's like you know it when you do it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's always a challenge for me, but so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Congratulations.
I do have a quick question.
Yeah.
And having fun is my fun is with my dog. We go out. She's a border collie and she needs exercise. Of course, I should be running with her, but I take the golf cart and she runs aside with me. Because when we walk, it's boring for her. She needs to run. So that's fun for me.
And you can't keep up with her probably because.
No, I can't.
And normal humans can't.
No. So, and she has a big smile. I have a big smile. And so that's really fun for me. That's my awesome. Question, I think I might know the answer, but anyway, when I made your coconut yogurt, where, you know, just the frozen yogurt with the starter, it was really thick. Why would I need to ferment it?
Well, because it's when you ferment it, then you're getting the growth, the doubling and the tripling, the quadrupling of those organisms. When you eat it, if you just blend it and put the probiotic in it, you're just eating it. You're just taking a probiotic and eating coconut versus fermented and getting all the extra goody organisms, plus the sugars. So those organisms will eat the sugar. So you may or may not have noticed. I'll notice if I have too much of the just blended coconut, then it could cause my sugar to go up. Whereas if I eat it fermented, I could eat it all day long and it doesn't cause my sugar to go up because the critters ate all the sugar in it and grew and grew and grew.
Okay. I finally bought a yogurt maker, so I'm going
to
get into it.
And if it's thick, you might want to thin it out a little bit. And you'll play around every time you make it with how much, if you've had Coco-Yo, you probably know the consistency that you're looking for. Yeah. And it will thicken up as it ferments. So, yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's all I have.
Good questions. I love the food questions.
Christine, about chewing. Today, I actually had a call with a practitioner in Europe. I was helping her interpret her own GI effects. And I had to go through the basics with her. And as a practitioner, she's a student, about chewing, how important. She said, you know what? I really don't think I'm chewing. So, you know, we can't say it enough.
I know. So many times people say, like, I think I have low stomach acid. Oh, what makes you think that? I always ask, what makes you think that? Well, I see pieces of food in my poop. I'm like, oh, I don't know that you have a stomach acid problem. We can't say that, but you have a teeth problem. You're not chewing your food, right? Because your stomach doesn't have teeth.
Years
ago, I took a course where you put your fork down and you chewed. I need a buddy to practice with to get it automatic. Because of course it worked and then it didn't, it went away. You know, you have to stay present to eat when you're eating.
You have
and
to
then, you know, with work.
Yeah. And
no excuses, but my work, I was lucky I got anything.
Well, that's so another story, right? You're working, you're trying to raise kids, you're trying to keep track of them. You have 30 seconds to scarf food. I remember when my kids were little and I would be like, it'd be middle of the afternoon, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and I'd be starving. Like, why are you so hungry? Like you ate lunch. And then I'd kind of walk into the kitchen and see my lunch, like partially eaten, sitting on the table because I had to get up and run after the kids. Who's ever had that happen, right? And I'm like, oh, no wonder I'm hungry because I'm not actually eating the lunch. I actually just am taking a few bites. There's reasons for that. But once, you know, it's really a good point, good idea to chew. Putting the fork down is so helpful. It's so helpful. And you put the fork down to, you know.
It's torture.
It's torture.
But I'm doing it. I'm, you know, that's kind of like what a simple thing like that is what I need to master right now for myself.
Yeah. Why do you think, you know, in the empowered, if you actually go through our roadmap, some of those things at the beginning, you're like, okay, why I'm paying you to tell me this stuff. But I like ask, are you actually doing it? So you're paying me to tell you it and remind you to do it and keep you accountable to do it. And that's why we map those things out, right? Chew your food, get out in the sun, right? Drink your water. Like, how many people have I been working with for years? And okay, wow, why do you think you're constipated? And they're like, how much water are you drinking? Oh, well, I'm getting there. I'm at about 2 cups a day. I'm like, 2 cups a day? No wonder you're constipated. Right? So it's all those little easy, basic things that mamas taught us when we were little, even though they didn't know anything about nutrition, really. But they taught us simple things like chew your food and drink your water.
I know. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mary is next.
I saw Mary a little while ago. Where'd she go?
She posted a question. Well, is she still here? Looks like she's gone.
Oh.
It's not Marianne, right? It's
Mary Ireland, right?
Yeah. Mary Ireland. She seems to be gone.
Oh.
All right. Well, so we'll save that question and we'll go on to Catherine.
Thanks, Annette. Hi, guys. Sure.
Hi.
So as Lisa knows, my last blood work was really, really terrible. And as I was looking at it some more, I had a question about AST and ALT. My understanding is that when those go high, that's like signifies a liver issue. But what else can make it go high? My last numbers were like 28 and 62 respectively. And they're usually like in the teens to maybe 20.
Okay.
So is that because of the massive anemia or what can make that happen?
I don't think it's from the anemia. Usually we think about fatty liver when the liver enzymes go so high. And so we really do need to think about, what the difference is, because you had your previous lab test not so long ago, and what has happened in the meantime. But all the rest of your markers seem to be okay, except for the hemoglobin and those markers, right?
My platelet count was high. I assume that's because of the anemia.
Well, the platelet count would go low, actually, but. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because my platelet count went quite high. Mm-hmm.
Which did you say? Because you had the very big disparity between the two. So one was 28. Was that ALT or AST?
It was AST that's 28, and ALT got to be 62. And 3 months, or sorry, 4.5 months prior, they were both 10.
They were both 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've got anemia very bad, and I've got a UTI that's chronic. And I'm kind of wondering, what might that signify?
The ratio between them has to do with blood sugar balance. So if the ratio between them is off, it's oftentimes an indicator of blood sugar balance. ALT is primarily liver. Whereas AST can be liver, but it can also be, that's why I asked you which one was higher, but your ALT is the higher one. So I'm more suspicious of liver. If it had been the other way, I'd start to say, well, let's look at some of these other things like, pancreas, heart, kidneys, lungs, muscle. Those can be involved with
Catherine has had high insulin. She's had sort of optimal blood glucose, fasting blood glucose, but she's had high insulin, and insulin has unfortunately not been remeasured. So we need to, follow up on that. But unfortunately, there have been so many fires to put out in terms of her urgent health needs that she's been having testing done in the emergency room, right? So it's
right. They're not going to test insulin. That's unless she goes in with our blood sugar in the hundreds, multiple hundreds. Yeah.
They didn't test it then. They didn't test Samantha.
They didn't even test to Samantha then?
Mm-mm. Wow. She didn't have it done until I did it.
Wow. It's just, it's a crime, really. And the other liver markers are not elevated, alkaline phosphatase, LDH.
I think, you know, right now you need to focus on the anemia and healing from the urinary tract infection. And maybe this is a blip. We'll remeasure it again. We don't try to
and
make
meds,
any,
right? If you upped any meds, did you up any meds in the time period?
She's been on
any new meds?
She got new meds. Didn't she get new meds recently?
Yeah, I did. The some of the new things were the progesterone was new. A variety of the supplements were new.
But that was the progestin, right? It wasn't progesterone.
It was
was it synthetic?
Agestin.
What's the name of it?
Agestin. AYGESTIN. And in terms of the other liver markers, you know, the other liver markers were all fine. So maybe it was a blip, but.
It can be a blip. I mean, we can, you know, I would say just, you know, hang on. You're going to have blood tests done in a month's time, remeasure it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take it from that because it's unusual to have such a change. And it can just be something that's transient.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I was just. It just struck me as I was kind of going through it, going, huh.
I'm seeing some articles on the effects of that. It's a name brand for whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but it can be hepatic. It can be a hepatotoxin, meaning hurts your liver.
Yeah. I just looked it up. High doses of progesterone can cause liver enzyme elevations.
Yeah.
And you've increased, and it's under on the National Library of Medicine's bookshelf. So it can be in response to your, the other fire that Catherine's been trying to put out, you know, the cause of the anemia is the heavy menstrual cycles. So her doctor upped her progestin dose to 3 times a day. And so that may be actually what's driving this.
That might be driving it. And have you talked to them? That's another reason for talking to them about, can they switch you to a bioidentical progesterone? Because the long term, it's a hepatotoxin, but also long term, it's going to affect, you know, puts you at higher risk of estrogen and, you know, estrogen and other hormonal sensitive, because it throws off doesn't do what a natural progesterone does in terms of the specific estrogen receptors and the specifics of protection. So it might be something you can bring up to them and say, look, I'd rather not take this as a synthetic. Can you give me a bioidentical form?
I'm going to send you that link, Catherine, email, and you can show that to your doctor because it's on the it's called Liver Talks Clinical Research Information on Drug-Induced Liver Injury, and not to scare you, and I don't want to scare you and alarm you. You have enough you're dealing with, but you can send that to your doctor and discuss why, and then show her the test results. And perhaps you'll consider, an alternative, because, you know, so Dr. Emery, so you would know, her doctor was suggesting that she consider a hysterectomy or ablation. It's like, you know what, you know, let's just stop the bleeding first and then go on from there, you know. Right.
And the progesterone is definitely a good approach to that.
Yeah.
And getting the estrogen progesterone balance so that you're progesterone dominant. There's other herbs that you can take along with that, like, you know, Vitex, chase tree. But I think they have the ability to prescribe for you and prescribe a progesterone in a bioidentical form. It's not probably an over the counter. It's probably a, what do they call that when they have to make it at the pharmacy? I forget the name of that.
Compounded,
right? They have to compound it, but it's definitely available. They could easily write a prescription for it, and they can do an oral dose that's equivalent to what you're taking. Probably not probably a topical dose won't touch it enough, right? Given the severity, but you can get 100 milligrams in an oral non-synthetic but bioidentical progesterone.
Cool. I will ask about that. And Lisa, thanks. That'd be great if you can send me that article. I'm doing it right now. More ammo for talking with my doctor.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now as we speak. And
awesome.
I just have put info on for Justin.
Beautiful. Thank you both. I greatly appreciate it.
Sure thing. Absolutely.
Okay.
Who else? Did Mary ever come?
Quiet. No. Only Marianne. So closest we get to Mary is Marianne. No.
Yeah, there they stop here. So Kimberly, Kim is saying, I get my 200 milligram bioidentical progesterone from the regular pharmacy. So you should be able to. Should be able to. So what's up? Why are you guys so quiet? Usually we're here like going, oh, we only have 5 minutes left. Let's get that through. It looks like.
It is a small group too, so.
Amy looks like she has her hand up.
Hi, I'm new to the group right at the beginning of my different health journey.
Welcome.
So I'm Western
Medicine. You're an MD, right?
I'm Western Medicine, right.
Western Medicine, right.
Yeah, we're different degree title, but equivalent, yeah. Yeah, so I'm a UK medical trained doctor, but I've not practiced for over 5 years because my health has been so rubbish. And I've sort of stumbled across functional medicine 2 years ago. Spent a little bit of time with a functional doctor over here in the UK, but I think she was very new to the functional thing and is very much doing this for that, as you've described in your talks. So it just, and I got this massive protocol that just got totally overwhelmed and kind of basically ran away and didn't go back because I just couldn't implement all of that in one go. So, I need to take things very slowly, start at the beginning. You know, I've got my water sorted. I'm going to have to work on chewing. And that's kind of where I'm, you know, right at the beginning of the roadmap. And so it wasn't really an exact question, but I've got a lot of chronic stuff going on. We suspect autoimmune. And I've stumbled across something recently called stiff person syndrome, which is an autoimmune problem that causes restriction. Now I've got really restricted spine. I've got Ehlers-Danlos, so I'm normally really hypermobile. You know, I did ballet and gymnastics into my 30s, and you could twist me into a pretzel shape. And now, you know, my rotation is often that. I've had a procedure today, so I've had a huge whacking dose of steroids the last 2 days and a load of midazolam. And that's probably only a third of my normal rotation, but it's triple what I had 2 days ago.
Wow.
So I'm thinking potentially stiff person syndrome might be something. I'm trying to figure out, you know, is this something I pursue with my rheumatologist going down a Western medicine diagnosis route? Or do I just go, well, it's probably autoimmune. Let's go down the functional route and let's not worry what it's called and try and fix it that way. What would you advise?
Do you guys want to take that one or I'll jump in? Because I'm opinionated when it comes to this.
I would go functional, but that's me.
Yeah.
Because that's a more encompassing healing as opposed to getting labeled.
Right. And the reason for labels is so we can put you in a box, not we meaning what I do, but like Western medicine. And you've learned this if you're Western trained, you label so you can put them in a box and then decide what stuff to throw in the box to try to make it go away. Right. That's basically how it works. And it doesn't matter what it's called, like all autoimmune.
Yeah. And I've come away with a script for hydroxychloroquine.
Okay. That's interesting.
I think you have a better chance going with root cause and letting your body heal itself rather than just going after symptoms, which is what Western medicine tends to do.
Yeah. And sometimes you need to have the symptoms. Obviously, she's walking around. She can't turn. There's some symptomatology that we need to help to have you live a normal life, right? But that's just symptom control. That's perfectly said, you know? What's your name? SHWC?
Oh, sorry. This is Susan Schleifer.
Oh, Susan. Hi. Yeah, Susan. Of course. Right. Susan. I don't know why I didn't recognize you. Maybe it was the sunglasses. But having been down the Western medicine route yourself for decades, so as a medical practitioner, that's the thing, right? Labels help in that, and mechanisms help us in understanding how we can we do symptomatic relief, but the mechanisms even are just a part of it. It's just superficial. When we're going down deeper, we're finding that most things are caused by imbalances in the body, you know, chaos in the metabolism. The metabolism is just wreaking havoc, and we don't know, it's not doing its right thing. And so when we go the functional approach, we're looking at what of these pathways are out of balance. What we know about autoimmune is that they all have, as the root, they all have some specific things in common. There's always leaky gut involved, right? So you can't go wrong by healing your leaky gut. There's always stress involved, whether it's a mental, emotional stress, whether it's an environmental stress, things you're breathing, whether it's EMF stress, heavy metal stress, there's all sorts of things, and a hidden infection somewhere in your body as a stress. So there's always a stress. Right. And when we can balance those sorts of things and we keep the blood sugar balanced, because that's a stress if the blood sugar is glunk, glunk, glunk. And if we look at the way we approach things within the empowered community, it's like looking at the pillars. Where can you balance your specific lifestyle things? But then blood sugar and gut are at the core, and that's at the core of fixing autoimmune. And we've had people go through Sweet Spot and heal an autoimmune condition that they've been diagnosed with 50 years in it before that, because they got their body balanced, right? And so that's the approach I would take. Yes, do whatever you need to for symptom relief to make your life livable, you know what I mean? But I would say getting a diagnosis and going through all the tests, and then it's in your record, and I don't know how it is over there, but once you get things in your record, you know, you're uninsurable. If you know, nobody will insure you for anything without paying exorbitant fees, because you've got a diagnosis of this, that, or the other thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, UK health insurance is weird. They won't cover anything that you've had for any pre-existing conditions are just not covered. So, you know, I have health insurance, but it would cover me like if I got cancer or something, but anything linked to, you know, my childhood asthma or anything like that, I will never be insurable for in the UK.
Wow.
Kind of why we're terrified that we might lose the NHS.
Oh, the NHS, right. So there's the NHS and then there's private health insurance as well.
Yeah. So effectively for me, private medicine is all out of pocket.
Yeah. And so if you're going to do out of pocket anyway, I would invest in functional testing.
Yeah. Well, right? I'm on a limited budget, which is why I'm doing, you know, the Empowered Self-Care Lab. I would love to be working with a coach regularly, but can't afford that at the moment. Hopefully, you know, as things improve, hopefully that situation will change and I can get more guidance. But yeah, I'm just struggling to get my head out of what I've been doing for 20 years and what I've been studying into an entirely different approach to health.
Yeah. And so I would follow like all the stuff we have in there and follow along with do the assessments and see what other things might be out of balance, right? And you don't have to pay for the test, just do what you can with what you have, right? And there's so much you can do without the testing by just putting into place specific. If you get stuck, then you're like, okay, well, what's going on here? What's going on there? But as long as you're not in a life-threatening situation, you're not bleeding and losing, you know, Catherine, you know, with having that heavy menstrual bleeding, she's got to get some medical intervention there to stop that or she'll bleed out, right? But whatever, wherever you are, and that there's an infection and a high fever, right? We bring in Western medicine where the tools are, and you're trained well enough to identify those things, right? You know how to identify disease. You've been taught that. You've been doing it for 20 years. What you weren't taught was how to identify metabolic imbalance. And right now, that's what you're going to be working on, right? Is getting your metabolic imbalances balanced. And I would go gut and go with the pillars and just, you know, follow on through. But gut is big if it's an autoimmune disease. Inflammation, looking at inflammatory markers, right? You probably have those even if they're a few years old. You probably can tell if you've had a history of elevated homocysteine or CRP or things like that. That's
I had a fairly comprehensive set of functional bloods done in September through the practitioner. So unfortunately, I've been on steroids for a long time. So things like my CRP, ESR will be artificially suppressed. My homocysteine was, I think, above optimal. It wasn't actually high, but right. not in the optimal range.
And then looking at that, right? Looking at the B6 and folate and B12 and even B2, right? If you look at some of the, if you just look at pathway diagrams, which you can find in the nutrigenomics module, there's some pathway diagrams and you can go, oh, it could be this, right? Without having to actually go and test them individually. And you know what? Yeah. So you get expensive urine if you take too much, but B vitamins are fairly inexpensive and can help with those pathways. You just have to kind of be a little careful about the types, right? And you go with the safer types if you don't know your genetics.
Yeah, I've got, I haven't read it yet because, you know, my head is just like exploding with information, but I've done the self-decode. So I can look things up in my genetic stuff.
So look up COMT. And if that's homozygous, then stay away from the methyl stuff for a while, right? Go with hydroxy and adenosyl B12s and, you know, be careful of some things.
Yeah. I think my COMT was okay. That was one of the ones I checked because
and if you are going to use methyl,
a lot about MTHFR, so I kind of looked at that one and that
you looked at the major ones,
okay yeah. from that point of view.
Yeah. So and the other thing is for everybody, if you're ever going to go and do like methylated B12 or something, I always recommend getting a liquid micellized liposomal, right? Because then you can drop dose things, and if you take two drops and you start to feel like a crazy person, you know that you're not taking it. I've had folks come in to see me and the doctor said, oh, you have MTHFR. And they put them on 15 milligrams of folate and like 1500 or 5,000 in some cases, micrograms of B12 in methylated form. And they said, ever since I've been taking this, I'm like, I'm stressed out. I'm a basket. I'm like, stop. Right. The doctor didn't know anything about creating those kinds of imbalances. So you just go slow, everybody memorize.
Yeah, low, I don't know this stuff, so I can't expect my slow. Western trained doctors to know it.
They don't know it.
Low and slow, and also with folate. Folate is proliferative, okay? So we don't wanna be taking, the 400 micrograms is the sort of minimum amount to prevent deficiency, and over 800 micrograms, I would be very cautious because it's proliferative. So what is proliferation? What is proliferation associated with? You know, growth, cell growth. Okay, what happens when cell growth goes awry? We think of malignancies, right? So we don't want to be inducing that in our bodies. So, you know, you can, and people just don't realize or think about it. We just have to be cautious. And if we do need higher amounts of folate, we have to do it for a short period of time under supervision with a good reason.
And with testing.
Yeah.
Right. Testing. Some people may need way more because of genetic factors, because of predisposing factors. But if you don't, then like there's certain things you can get in trouble with, like your fat soluble vitamins, right? I give people,
keen to stay well clear of malignancy because I've just managed to wriggle out of a hematology referral. Until a couple of weeks ago, I looked like I was fitting in the chronic lymphocytic leukemia bracket, but my lymphocytes have come down.
balance. Start with the good food, start with your sleep, your stress management, all that stuff. And I know when you're stressed out about, do I have this diagnosis? You know, shoots it through the roof. What do we teach you? The heart map stuff. The breathing, the appreciation, just to be in that situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amy. Rose, or are you gone?
It's Rose's wall. There she is.
You need to unmute, Rose.
All right.
There you are.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I was sitting here cutting these things up. My question is, is there something I can do for my hands? Because I have problems opening things. And of course, Keto Mojo has switched to this kind packaging that you have to tear each one of these things open, and I cannot tear them. I don't have the strength in my hands to tear them. So I'm cutting them with the scissors, and some of the strips I actually end up cutting, and then I can't I can't put them in the meter because I get an error.
Part of it off. Well, let me give you an idea for that because I have trouble with those. They just, and sometimes I go too low and sometimes I go too low. Cut it at the very top and then take your scissor and go down the sideline so that it opens up that kind of, you know what I mean? So if you cut it close to the top and then you take the scissor and you go down the side where the thing is in the middle, it's pretty clear to feel it. That might help you with that.
Yeah. Cause there's an extra little piece in there too.
Oh, that's like a, you know, when you have bottles and it has a little thing in it to keep the moisture from hurting.
Silicone packs. The silica packs.
Silica pack. It's kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes I think I'm only hitting that and I'm actually cutting the strip, but I have tools that I use. I have this thing that's like a little hook. And then at the end of the hook is a slit. So if you buy something that you have to pull a top for, you know, I can do that. And then I have other things that twist. I just don't have hand strength and I don't know what to do to get it.
So can we ask you a few questions?
Sure.
So how long has it been that since you've had the hand strength? Is it sudden or
years?
Okay. And is it both hands equally?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any weakness in your arms, the lower arms or the upper arms or shoulders?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay.
I did do physical therapy one time for my shoulder about 2 years ago because I reached to the cupboard and took out one plate. And it really hurt my shoulder. I couldn't lay on it or lift my arm or reach behind me or do anything. But since I've completed the physical therapy, that hasn't come back. But I still have this.
Ways to get the strength back in your hands. I'm trying to see if there's, make sure there's not a systemic or a neurologic, you know, a neck kind of thing that's related to it. When I hear something is both sides, I want to rule out, is there something spinal down the middle or the nervous system, the nerves coming out of the spine that's affecting both sides. It could be that, you know, you just, it's not something we work on a lot, right? And it gets weaker and weaker as we age if we're not actually working on it. And even weightlifters don't work on their wrists very often, their wrist strength, right? So there are some, you know, you can get some, I don't have one here. I thought I had one here. Some of these balls, these kind of squishy balls.
Oh, okay.
And then practicing grips like that. You may not be able to do much at all, but look these up. I'm sure you'll find these on Amazon or any place.
Okay.
Squishy ball to help build up the strength. You're going to have to work on building that strength. And that's the grip strength. That's this part. The twisting is a little bit different, right? Because that's requiring some forearm strength as well, right? So there's things you can do for forearms and you can take things. I mean, this doesn't weigh very much of anything. It's probably, you know, 3 ounces. So it's not much.
Yeah. But
you can do very lightweight. You can get 1 pound, 2 pound, or you could just take jars and put water in them, right? 16 ounces of water weighs a pound. So it could be a good sized jar, but you basically can practice it initially just with something very light, just to hold the grip and practice in different directions. Right, to build strength. You can do the twisting. You can actually do the twisting motion. You can actually stabilize the forearm and do this to build that strength, right? So you're isolating those muscles, right?
Yeah, because even though I tap those jar lids, I do not still have the strength to open up that lid.
Okay, so I'm also going to give you a tool that we use. I think it's OXO. And it's a tool that has, you basically, if this was the jar, it has this, it goes like this. It has a handle and it goes like this. And you can slide it, whatever size jar you have into it, except for teeny tiny, it doesn't work for. But for most size jars, you slide it in, you put it down. It gives you a almost a silicon type of a pad that you can put on the counter. You put the jar on top of it, you put that over it, and then you just twist. I use that a lot for jars. My husband loves to like put them on so tight. It's like, what? And I can't get them off. And I put it down on them. I just, you know, slide it off. So that's another tool to help you with that. I think OXO, I'll look for it on, you know, when we move on to the next question, but I think it's,
okay.
Yeah, it's just really convenient to have, super convenient to have.
Yeah, one of my friends came over with her husband and I said, oh, I'm so glad you came along. I have a job for you. He said, no, I don't want to work. And he said, how big of a job is it? And I went like this. I said, it's like this big for you, but it's huge for me because I can't do it. And I got out about four jars and lined them up and he opened them.
Good for you.
I thought
somebody's always going to be around. So, right?
Yeah.
You guys have any other ideas for that? That's the only thing I'm thinking of.
Yeah. My grandmother had rheumatoid arthritis and she'd save stuff up for when we came over. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes my knuckles get swelled or they're red.
Yeah.
It is OXO. I'm going to put a link in the chat for you guys.
Thank you.
I found those flat silicone pads can be really helpful too.
Oh, for grabbing
they sell them for pot holders and whatnot, but you can do all kinds of things with them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Because it gives you the grip that you don't have. It kind of latches on. I'll show you what this thing looks like. OXO Good Grips Jar Opener with Base Pad. And the base pad is what you would take off and put underneath. I'm going to give you this list.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good. We got a nice kitchen store. I'm going to go get it. I hope they got it.
Oh, yeah. This is Amazon. So you can find
it.
Worst case, you can find it on Amazon. Let me make sure I give you the short link. Yeah, here you go. I hate those links that are four lines long. So I always shorten them, but I always have to make sure that I shorten it properly. There we go. Try that. And they would have, you know, most kitchen stores, even Target, would have OXO products. It's a pretty common brand name.
I don't
know about you guys in the UK, but
it's everywhere here. Yeah,
it's everywhere here. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I guess I'll go back to. I've been sitting and listening because what's interesting is I like to hear what the other people are doing. Because sometimes I get ideas of things that I didn't even think to ask about, you know, for myself. But while I was listening, I was cutting up my strips because it's too frustrating to open these one at a time when they're so hard.
Yeah, but be careful with that though. That's the problem is where are you putting them once you cut them?
I have the old containers from the old Keto Mojo.
Okay. Yeah. The reason they go that way is to help prevent some of the oxidation that happens. So I wouldn't open too many at a time.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons they went there because once you open, every time you open it, you're letting oxygen in, which can degrade the accuracy of the strip.
Thanks for sharing that because I didn't give that a thought. So maybe I better stop.
Yeah.
I think I probably have about 30 of them open.
I wouldn't go further than that.
All right. Thank you.
Here's one, finger exercisers and similar hand. I'll send you this link too. There's all kinds of things on here. You might play with and see what ones you like the best. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely am going to work on to get a ball and try to do that and move my wrists and stuff to see if I can get some of that back.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard set of muscles because we don't do much with it. That's much weaker. I can lift, you know, lots of weight over my head, but what I can do with my wrist is I don't actually work them. I've got to start doing that more. I have some of the squeezies. I just sent you a list and it's a page that has all kinds of little cool things that you can do for strengthening your hands.
Oh, neat. I will appreciate that much because it's very frustrating. I haven't trained those dogs to open that stuff up for me yet. thank you.
This is good stuff because I'm sure there's other people going, oh, I never thought about asking about my wrist strength. Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it's just, I think I didn't before either, but it's just that I've been sitting here frustrated trying to opening these things while listening to the, you know, broadcast. And so I thought, well, this would be a good time to ask about it.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Okay, then we have Christine wrote it in the put it in the chat. Christine, do you want to unmute and ask?
Hi guys, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah.
I have my contact lenses in, so I need my reading glasses to see very closely. God, aging is so fun. I am in the process of moving out my family out of the house we're in and into another one. And my landlord gave me a 10 item list of stuff. I need to clean the oil off the driveway. I need to clean all the grout in the house. And I'm using these really harsh chemicals. And I want to know, what can I do to detox daily? I know about my eating. I want to keep that clean, but water, do I drink what would you do if you were me?
First of all, I'd wear a mask.
I'd hire someone else to do it when I moved out.
Right. That's another one.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because my health is too important to me. I had a multiple chemical sensitivity crash. I'm not going back. So I would be more than happy to pay someone to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
And if you're not going to, you must wear gloves and a mask in order to,
open the windows.
Not just a cotton, COVID type mask. I mean, there's chemical masks that you can get with the little, you get them at Home Depot or something, and they have specific filters you put on for the kind of chemicals you're dealing with.
Okay. When I'm looking at my genetics, what am I looking for in there for chemical clearance? Like what genes am I looking at for my clearance abilities?
I look at all the CYPs, and then there's charts. Yeah. All the CYPs have different aspects that they do for that. And then in your genetics module, section part two, I think there's a whole page on all of the report things, and you can print out these cool charts, and it tells you exactly what each one does.
Okay, that's awesome. So CYP, I got it right.
Yeah, most of the CYP, the 1A1s, 1A2s, 3CD, whatever, DC, I don't even remember, D6 and C6, and there's a whole bunch of CYPs.
Okay. Okay.
Don't have memorized, but the other thing is a good book to have. You can look them up easily in is this one.
Oh, Dr. Sutton's.
Yeah. So just look up the CYPs in there, and she has all kinds of, which ones do what. Some of them do aflatoxin and some of them, but basically it's that part. And then, that's the phase one. The phase two, things like acetylation and methylation, and mm-hmm. and there's a chart on there as well on that page. So all those phase one, phase two detox SNPs.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Yay. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Amy added more information for hand and wrist strength.
Oh, good.
And then we're quiet again.
Because my hyper male had to work. Okay. They're putty. That's a good idea, right? Yeah. Even just silly putty, but therapy putty. This plus the stress ball and the squeeze jar exercises. Awesome. She put a jar opener, mm-hmm. bottle opener, non-slip, and then the 5-in-1 kitchen tool. Let's see what that is. Let's see. Oh yeah, that's similar. I think that's not quite as good as the jar opener. It's for smaller things, but I got one of those I got them for my kids or something. And it wasn't quite as good as the big one, but it's the big one doesn't work for the smaller stuff. So that might have been that brand, but cool.
Yeah. I found different tools for.
Yeah, I think
so. That one's brilliant for if you've got a 2-liter bottle with a small cap.
Yes, with the small cap.
But also things like jam jars, it's got a thing that it'll release the vacuum seal. So you just tuck it under the edge and lift the handle, and it just pops the vacuum. So then the lid comes off much more easily.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, yeah, I've just looked up your Oxo Good Grips one because I have the the Oxo Good Grips vegetable peeler. It's the only one I can use.
Yeah, they have.
So, you know, I've kind of experimented over the years with lots of bits and bobs.
And what Susan had mentioned was the silicone, they have any kind of silicone thing, but they have some thinner silicone pads that you just use as jar and bottle openers.
Are really the Dicam ones are like silicone pyramids that go over the top of the jar.
Yeah, good stuff.
Can I be cheeky and ask another question?
Go for it.
Sure.
You were just mentioning Dr. Sutton's book, and I've had that sitting in my Amazon safe for later for quite a while. Obviously, I did the soft decode DNA stuff, not the the one specifically mentioned in her book. Is it such that I can cross-reference and use the different DNA testing with it, or does it? Do you need?
Yeah, well, the same code has all those same SNPs. It's just with self decode, you oftentimes have to go. You have to know what you're looking for to go in and do it. Where this is in a book form, where you can just. Look it up.
I wasn't sure if it had to have the 23andMe report to make sense.
No. I mean, the 23andMe is just one of a number of different reports, more and more coming out lately. And the SNPs themselves are the same. So this may not have this won't have all the SNPs that you're going to find in self-decode. It just might be a quicker, easier reference. But self-decode is pretty amazing. They have a lot of really great info in there. I really like that. Yeah.
It's vast. I just thought it might be useful to have something to guide which reports I read to start with.
Yeah, it might be. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Thanks.
Cool. The name of the book, Shelley, is Genetic Testing, Defining Your Path to a Personalized Health Plan. And it has a report that if you do 23andMe, you can upload to their report, and it maps out in the same order as the book. And in the book, in the report, it'll say, see page 133, see page 257. And so when you're reading your report and you see a bunch of red SNPs in there, you can go right to that page and read about it. The charts that I did were kind of a summary of a lot of the stuff in this book. So you don't have to, you know, go through and read a bazillion pages. You could just quickly take your report, mark it on there. Here, mine is yellow. Here, mine is red. Here, mine is green. And then you can go through and get a summary. And then if you want to go deeper, you can go deeper.
Okay. And we have a question. From Yvonne, I have had what has been deemed a benign essential tremors in my left hand primarily, but also my right. It has been mild, but now it's getting worse. My blood sugar has also been elevated due to some cortisone injections I needed. I went to a neurologist and will be getting a prescription that he said would help. Anything else I can do other than the meds? I have other questions, but this is the big pressing current one. Go ahead.
Yes, I would say, what's the med? Because here's what I do when I hear somebody's, you know, recommending a medication. What's the medication? And then I go, ding, 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 look it up and say, what's the mechanism of action of that medication? And what are some natural therapeutics or specific, you know, foods, functions, nutrients, herbs, et cetera, that could perform that. So say, I'll just give you an example. Say we're talking like SSRIs for depression. They're working on increasing your level of serotonin in the body by not letting it get broken down. So you're basically recycling serotonin, and they're looking, okay, what kind of things can help with increasing levels of serotonin? Naturally, let's see, 5-HTP or tryptophan, and vitamin B6 is a cofactor. So that's how I think in terms of medication, kind of what's the mechanism of action that they're looking at for these tremors?
I have a comment.
Yes, please.
Okay. So this was just 2 days ago, and the prescription's waiting for me at the pharmacy. But first he started talking about an option involving like what would ordinarily be a blood pressure medicine. But since I was already on a blood pressure medicine, I didn't like that option. And then something, I don't remember the name of the medication. It began with a P, that I believe he said, you know, at larger doses was used in the past for seizures.
Mm.
And this is kind of a mild version of that, a low dose. But, and once again, I mean, it's starting to get interfere with my job and, you know, like using computers and grabbing things. So, you know, I feel like I got to do something now. But if I didn't have that job, I wouldn't. You know, I would.
Yes. And, you know, it's indicating that something's out of balance in your system and in your nervous system, right? And nerve, you know, you don't want to let nerve things go unchecked because nerves take a long time to replenish themselves and repair. So I would say you probably need a good functional medicine workup, right? Like, with somebody who knows what they're doing to look at the labs, to order the right labs, to see what are the imbalances that could be contributing to this. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're messing with your nervous system, the drugs don't really solve the problem in general. And I don't really know enough about what the actual diagnosis is and what the actual medication is, but the drugs don't reverse a problem. They just usually cover up the symptoms, which could make whatever the underlying problem is worse. I mean, if you've got low back pain, and your doctor gives you some sort of analgesic and you take that analgesic and you're going, oh, my back pain's gone. And then you go do something stupid, right? Then you make mm-hmm. your back worse. You can throw a disc out because you think your back pain's gone, but it's just numbing out the symptoms. So I would say for you, given this situation, if it is getting worse, I would get checked out. It's not, you know, we don't have enough information to really know what's really going on here. Of course, the good stuff, right? Eating well, getting your stress under control, healing your leaky gut, getting your blood sugar under control, making sure your nutrients are right. I always think of B vitamins when I think of the nervous system. I think of fatty acids. Do you have the right balance of omega-3 and 6 fatty acids? Because that's hugely important for nerve health. I think about neurotransmitters. I mean, tremors happen in, it's a different diagnosis in Parkinson's, right? And Parkinson's is a deficiency mm-hmm. of dopamine, and dopamine is a neurotransmitter that has as a precursor, you know, tyrosine as an amino acid and B6 to help it form. And what happens, you know, you could have low stomach acid that doesn't allow you to digest your protein that then leads you to having issues with not having enough protein, not having enough amino acids to make neurotransmitters. So those are all the kind of thought processes that go through my mind to want to investigate, right?
And right. I've heard three things that are already, I know I got to do something with sleep. I know, you know, like when you said stomach acid, I had years of taking Acefix. And I weaned myself off all of that, but, you know, I probably still have the damage, you know, so, and it's familial. So my father had.
So there's some genetic factors involved there as well. And, you know, genetics don't mean we have to live that. We don't have to manifest right. genes, but we have mm-hmm. to do things to make sure that our diet and lifestyle are supporting the turning off of the genes that we don't want to actually have happen, right? They don't have to be turned on. And that's where methylation comes in and acetylation and some other of those processes.
That's right. Right. I'm hearing some more stuff.
Or Annette, do you have anything you
want to? I was going to ask, what about my favorite go-to, a chiropractor?
Hmm.
Yep. I should be the one saying that since I am one, but you know, I... Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for your thoughts, because you know that opened some ideas. And so I will update that prescription.
Yeah, I would look at that, and I think that there are some chiropractors that have advanced training in specific neurological kinds of stuff, and they're going to do they're like functional neurologists basically, and they are going to look at functionally what is going on that's causing this neurologic symptom.
Mm-hmm. I want to say one more thing, and then I'm done. The other big area, not exactly pressing because it's been long term, but as you say, not messing around with nerves. But I have also had neuropathy in both my feet and now in my arm. I don't know if there's any kind of relationship, but when you say, you know, so I've got all these nerve things going on.
Yes, and blood sugar is a biggie when it comes to neuropathy. Vitamin B12 is a biggie when it comes to neuropathy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you quickly what they've said about that over the years, that because I had a very, very, very severe back problem in like 25 years ago. And it was very serious. And I had all kind of numbness and sciatica on one side. And all that kind of went away, you know, no surgery, no nothing. And what was left was a numb foot. And so when I had some tests that indicated that, yeah, the neuropathy is not just the one foot, it's the other foot, and now it's a finger here and there, but they feel like it's all coming from the back, you know, from.
Good. That's something I could go back to what Annette said, a chiropractor may be able to identify that, but bilateral, you know, when you have two sides and upper lower, I'm thinking something more central, and yeah, it could be in the spine itself. Right. Mm-hmm. Not in necessarily a specific area, but the spine itself. And so when you think about fingers and legs, they're not the same part of the spine. So then I'm thinking further up the spine, right? If there's something problematic, I would be looking at cranium and neck that would affect both, but also systemic, like.
My feet are bad, but they said, as they tested, there were some signs that it was other places.
Then I start to think it's a systemic issue, and you really do need to look at the blood sugar and the B12 status.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Add to that.
Well, it just sounds like it's a long-standing issue that is now developing in other directions.
Yeah.
So it would be really good to look at basic information, like, or what's going on with your blood sugar, what's going on with your B vitamins functionally, and also if you have any overt deficiencies, and then looking at your essential fatty acid balance. So looking at the whole thing, and then of course consulting a chiropractor to see if there's any adjustments that can be made. But it really does sound like it's something you've had for a long time that's just developing.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say also, based on so don't let them tell you when they test your fasting blood sugar and you find out it's 98 and say, oh, you're perfectly fine, it's not your blood sugar. That doesn't mean anything, right? You have to look at A1C, you have to look at insulin, you have to look at postprandial blood sugar. And that's what we're doing here in Sweet Spot. So I would say, if you haven't already, click the link to say join Sweet Spot for free, because it's part of this program. Join us for that and go through it. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, great. I have another call that somebody accidentally scheduled to overlap the last minutes of this. So I'm going to leave you guys.
Leave and we'll take care of Kim.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Right,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Kim.
Hi. So since there was time, I thought I would ask another question about the GRAND program. So there's also a HCL challenge in there. Is that still
current?
Yes, current.
I'm always cautious about HCL challenges, because you can really irritate the lining of your gut, I would be cautious. I would rather that's always something that one can do to see about the need for hydrochloric acid supplementation, but I start gently with taking bitters and actually stimulating hydrochloric acid.
I have been on the bitter since working with you, you know, so probably the last, I guess, probably maybe four or five months I've been using the bitters. Yeah. I did do the challenge, and I got up to the 4 capsules of HCL with really no heartburn, no, you know, I did have some heartburn like 2 hours later, like not right away, but a couple hours later. And just like the previous person, I had years on acid reducers. you know.
Exactly. So I would be very cautious. I'm very cautious with hydrochloric acid supplementation because it can really hurt the membranes of the GI tract because it's acid, right? So I think there's a workaround. I mean, of course, you know, if you really need it, then it's a good idea to take it, but you have to have it with food. And I wouldn't go at a high dose, but at a low dose. And sometimes digestive enzymes, like the digestive enzymes from Pure Encapsulations, I think it's called Pure. It has HCL in it. It doesn't have a huge dose of HCL. And then that just helps stimulate because stomach acid is important to stimulate the production of digestive enzymes. That's what triggers it. So in it, you know, you have to always think if you want to have enough digestive enzyme, you have to have enough stomach acid. So I would really think about a low dose. Those tests are good in general for figuring it out, but I've just seen like you had, you know, burning 2 hours later, then you know, it's just not a good, you know, the effects on the membranes can be severe actually.
And so do you think, Lisa, for me, that let's say if I, because like the way the instructions say is like optimal is to take the bitters and the HCL. So do you think that that is what I should do basically?
No, I don't. Okay. I think take the bitters. And then if you want to take HCL, I would take it in the context or combined with the digestive enzymes, like in that supplement that Pure Encapsulations has. It's not a huge dose of, hydrochloric acid.
And I have tried, I think, the product you're talking about in the past. I never really noticed anything different. I mean, I never really noticed anything different with the digestive enzymes, period. With the lipase a little bit, you know, like the poops don't float, you know, but I don't know. With the digestive enzymes, it just never, I take them, I don't take them. It all feels the same, but okay. Well, that's helpful.
Yeah, and I think that lipase is going to be the more important game changer for you. It's just good to take the other ones as well, because we always have to think about, you know, maldigestion, which is mechanical. You know, are you, chewing sufficiently, like we were speaking about before, and also biochemical. Are you producing enough secretions? And then malabsorption, which is has to do more with the integrity of the mucosal lining and the barrier function. So we have to think you could have both going on at the same time. So you have to kind of separate those things out. And so I always work on the gut environment first before adding in something like hydrochloric acid.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to chew, you know, much as I can slowly. It's definitely better, but sometimes I catch myself reverting back. So, but I do make it a focus. So.
And the bitters, you know, that helps. That's a natural way of stimulating digestive secretions. That is, I think, preferable. I think over time.
Sorry.
I think over time I've become much more. Oh, who is that? Much more conservative, you know, with these things, because I've seen, you know, in the beginning when I started as a practitioner, it was like all gung-ho with all that, you know, hydrochloric acid tests. And we did that in school as well, testing on ourselves. But I can see over time it can actually harm, and especially if we have any suboptimal barrier function or lining. So I've become a bit more conservative and cautious.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Lisa, what about Kim using some apple cider vinegar?
Perfect. In water? That's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect before meals. So instead of or addition to bitters, you could do apple cider vinegar in water or lemon juice in water, as long as it's not irritating you. So that's, I think, better than doing hydrochloric acid.
I do put the apple cider vinegar 1 tablespoon into the gut rejuvenator. And actually apple cider vinegar years ago was how I got off all the acid reducers. Cause I had a coach at the time. She was like, you just don't have enough acid. You just take apple cider vinegar every day. And she was right. I mean, all my heartburn and everything just went away. So I could do that. So you're saying take some even before meals, like take it with my bitters.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You could take it. Yeah, five to 15 minutes before meals.
Okay. Go ahead.
Annette. I had a naturopath and she would have me, she's like, you can put it in a wine glass if you want to be fancy. And I'm like, no, I don't need to be fancy.
No.
But she
had a shot glass.
She would have me start drinking it like 15 to 20. The goal was to drink like half of it starting 15 to 20 minutes before the meal. And then I was supposed to drink the other half during the meal so that I was constantly stimulating the stomach acid production.
And were you drinking it diluted in water?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I have been known to take it straight and I like it, but that's not always wise.
Yeah. No.
And are you saying like about a tablespoon with a meal or a teaspoon? How much are we talking about?
I would start probably with like a teaspoon and like 8 ounces of water, and then you could slowly increase it a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, you can work up to a tablespoon in water. Yeah.
And in thinking about taking like water and stuff before we eat, someone else had said that reduces the amount of digestive enzymes and we really shouldn't drink before or during our meals. What are your all thoughts on
that? Apple cider vinegar is stimulating your body to make the hydrochloric acid.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got to dilute it a bit because it's a bit strong
but
we always say sip with your meals and drink between your meals. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And you're zinc deficient. So you need the zinc to make the hydrochloric acid and you need the hydrochloric acid to break down the zinc and make it absorbable. So if you're zinc deficient, you know, you're missing that component of the hydrochloric acid as well.
Because we need the zinc to make hydrochloric acid. Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I should be taking the bitters, the zinc, and the apple cider vinegar.
I wouldn't do all that right before a meal.
No, not the zinc.
That could be too much on your stomach.
Yeah.
Maybe alternate days. You don't have to do everything on the same day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the same meal.
Or the same meal.
So what Annette was saying is that zinc needs acidity, so hydrochloric acid, in order for it to be absorbed. And also, in order for the body to produce hydrochloric acid, we need zinc. So it's just, that's why we always suggest having zinc with some acidity to help its absorption, because we assume that hydrochloric acid production is suboptimal. Often is.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
We've got about 5 minutes left. So if you have any fast, short questions, ask, or we can go. I know Lisa would like to go.
Yeah, full disclosure, guys, it's 5 minutes of midnight for me. So
thank you, Lisa. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure to be here, but. Yeah, it's
kind of we're losing Lisa. She's fading on us.
Yes.
So if there's nothing else, this is it. Speak now, forever hold your peace. I heard Yvonne, did you have something else?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, just keep it short.
No, I haven't been able to attend live. I've been enrolled for a long time, but not being able to participate, and now I can, and now I'm feeling like, oh my God, where do I begin? So can you give me some, testing, lots to read, the pyramids, the genetic charts, you know, I just, plus the advice that I got today about my current issues. So what would you do?
Which program are you in?
The empowered
self-care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think, Lisa?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I was answering.
She's just wanting to know where to start. Have you done any of the assessments? The assessments would probably be a good place to start because they can guide you.
Okay. And I did do some of those during some of the SHINE events. I've attended several of those. So, do that and kind of refresh my
Yeah, I would do the assessments and it'll let you know, oh, you need to work. Your adrenals are your big priority, or oh, your digestion is. And that'll help you decide which program, which path to start down.
All right.
You're right. There are a lot of them there.
Yeah. There are. It's like amazing. You know, and especially when you feel like you've got all these pieces of your body that need support in your one holistic vessel.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you want to add to that, Lisa? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to be cheeky and say start at the beginning, but
see, she's tired.
Yeah.
No, she's right on too.
I get a bit punchy when I'm tired.
But I think you're right also that, you know, starting from there, I was kind of intimidated about being on, and they said, who's next? Who's next? I said, oh, next with what? But I figured it out. But starting at the beginning is
And like Reed Marie said to you, go ahead and sign up for Sweet Spot. We only do it live once a year, and that's now. You've only missed one call.
I know, and I'm signed up. So
the calls are Wednesdays. So I'm gonna look for you.
Yeah, next that's my challenge. Is usually there's some conflict attending live, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I'll be looking.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Lisa, get some amazing sleep.
Yes, thank you. You guys we'll have a great later day.
I'm getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah. You guys have a great day, and we'll catch you on the next call.
All right. Thank Bye. You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Go ahead and go, Lisa. I'll stay. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Annette. See you later.
You're welcome, Kim. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you. And like Lisa said, we'll see you all on the next call.